Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Glad to have you with me today. We got the Miracle Man there in Midland, and he's about ready to get connected with us. We're learning this. Every night we have a different attendant. So, we're learning. Hang on just a second. I got to move out of the noisy zones. And move to the other end. I'm at the McDonald's here in West Branch. And Miracle Man is at the McDonald's in Midland. There on Saginaw Road. And it's a good thing. We're learning how to get this done. My employment has changed. And so that makes a different situation for me. You're going to hear me give a few pieces of instruction. Okay, so here we go with the show. As always, with the Miracle Man, you can dial into the show if you have a question or you need prayer, 215-383-3810. That's the number to reach him. You'll dial in. We'll see you show up if you dial in. If you have a question or you want us to pray for you, then make sure that you click the one button when you sign in. Hold on. What is his email address? You know, just work. You can dial in 215-383-3810 and that'll bring you right into our studio. And as the Miracle Man says on a regular basis, we talk about anything here, except politics. And if you want to talk politics with us, we will. But the talk that we'll give you is, are you praying for those that are in authority? Which is the same thing we said in the last administration. And it's what we'll say in every administration, because God very specifically gives us instructions that says, pray first for those who are in authority. And so, you know, most of all, if you don't like, you know, because as always is the case in America, there's a group of people that like who's there and there's a group of people who don't. And if you don't like who's there, then you got to get organized and get somebody else that's there that isn't. That's who you want. And if they win, they win. And if they don't, they don't. And on we go in American history. You know, we like to tell stories here. I can't tell that story. so I won't tell it. That one is political. But let's see. I can tell it. I'll make it neutral. Nobody will know. Once upon a time, in one of our elections, I had gone with my wife to a theater. And we'd seen this. It was a political spoof. And it was funny, but it was making a point. And it was a simulcast, so you could see it all the way across the nation. And, of course, the people that put the movie out, they're funny people. So we stayed clear to the end to catch and see if there was something in the credits. And, you know, everybody else can get up and move, but we're there. And so, sure enough, there was some funny stuff in the credits too. Well, then we're getting up to leave, and it's my wife and I, and an old man and an old lady. You know, married couple. Obviously, they've been together for a long time. he's hobbling up the aisle, and we get to the door, and I'm holding it for him. And he's of the age of being a World War II vet. So I said, "Thank you for your service, sir." And he said, "You're welcome. I served during World War II." And he said a few things. And then he got his theater popcorn breath right up in my face. And he said, "Sonny, I've voted Democrat and I've voted Republican throughout my life. And never... no matter who won those times that I voted, either way, never was America unsafe with the president that won, whether a Democrat or Republican." And he had that cane and he had that look on his face like, "You better listen to me." So I did. And he said, "Except for this time, America is not safe with this guy who's running for president." And I thought, that's a very interesting take on that. Now, you don't know what election. You don't know which one it was. He said that he's voted both sides. So you can't – I wasn't being political. I was just telling a good story. Whether they're a Democrat or Republican, if America's safe with them, if they're not going to sell us down the river, we're all right. But if you ain't going to do what America is known for, then we're in trouble. So no politics, and we have fun. Now, the Miracle Man is here. Miracle Man, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I heard you telling that story about that veteran thing. And of course, as I was just saying, that is. And folks, and if you're listening, that is your politics for the day. I'm not going to bring it up at all today.
Not a political show. People. Lots of places to get that in there.
And generally the ones I listen to are good, and they're insightful. Yeah. They talk about them. They don't slam the opponent badly. You know, they're good, and I enjoy it. But this is not that show.
That's not the show. So I introduced it. I gave the phone number. Take it away, brother.
Praise God, everybody. And did you apologize for that meltdown we had last night?
I did not do that. And I have one other apology I have to make. You ready for this? I'm drinking coffee tonight, not Dr. Pepper.
Oh, okay. Okay. Of course, I don't drink coffee, but you're still fine. Of course. Of course, as I was doing during the while you were talking, but Kibai, America's, in my opinion, and according to polls, it is true, America's most drank soft drink, Coca-Cola. From what I understand, Diet Coke is second, then Pepsi. And then you got your Mountain Dew and that. So Dr. Pepper's a bit down the list. Probably like number 6 or 7 or something, maybe, in America. As far as, obviously the only way they would know would be based on what was bought, not what was drank, you know?
Exactly.
So it could be like number 6 bought and be like 10th drink. drink. You know? It'd be like those rankings before the game, and then they play the game, and then that team who's supposed to win loses. You know?
Yep.
So you could be, but anyhow, praise God, we're gonna now open the Word of God after I say this real briefly.
I didn't pray either. You should start with some prayer. I hadn't done that yet.
I'm gonna start, but before I pray and open the Word, I'm gonna announce something real quick, folks. Next week is Thanksgiving. So tomorrow and during next week's shows, I'm going to give a few tidbits, some bits of the story about the pilgrims and
awesome.
That voyage that they made and Squanto and all that. So I'm going to brush up on that tonight in the morning so I can give you guys some good stuff on that, because sometimes we need to be reminded of it, you know, to be that, because Thanksgiving came before America did, you know?
Yep.
And Thanksgiving is part of who we are, and we need to think this time of year, instead of all this griping and stuff we do, and all this griping, all this me, that guy didn't make it, that guy, or whatever, instead we need to be thankful for what we have as a country. And not be screaming fire because either our school teacher or someone who didn't do represents us in Congress or whatever didn't do what we wanted. We got to have to be thankful for what we have. Thankful for America.
Amen.
Thankful for what we
Amen.
Have in our lives. So that's just a bit on what's coming. And then after that, in December, this will be in December. It won't be like right after Thanksgiving. It'll be a bit more in December, like the couple weeks leading into Christmas. I'm going to be talking some about it. I'll reading some verses on it about the birth of Jesus and talking about songs. Maybe talk a bit about some memories I have. Maybe have some listeners call in and say, like, what's your favorite gift you've gotten?
There you go.
That's going to be in December. We might, if I can find a way to hook up my phone to the laptop somehow, I just might feature some of those songs. Depending on where it leads, there could be, I'm not guaranteeing anything, there could be a bit Ben Crosby or something like that in there.
Come on.
There just could be. But that's going to be real fun. I've been thinking about how I want to do it, but it's going to be good. And so, folks, it's something to watch out for. And now on to back to the present and out of the future. Now back to the present as we open with the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that the internet's working. I thank you, Lord God, for these great listeners.
Yes. Yes.
That are listening to us. I thank you for an increase in the listenership that will continue to grow, and it'll be continue to show increases, like, oh yeah, this show we had more than last time, and like the viewership will continue to go up and up and up and up and up in the name of Jesus. And I just claim that by faith, that I claim that in the name of Jesus, that our equipment is paid for so that we can have
yes.
a great quality sounding show.
Yes.
And I'm believing, and in the name of Jesus, I claim that you'd bless my mouth tonight, Lord God. Bless my voice.
Yes.
And
yes,
anoint
yes,
me
yes.
and show me what you would
yes.
have me say, Lord
yes,
God,
yes,
as
yes.
as not just as I read, but as I exhort on the scriptures I'm reading and talk about whatever God has me talk about based on whatever you have me talk about, God, based on the reading. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you just bless me tonight, bless all of us tonight. And if anyone's believing God for a healing miracle or some other kind of miracle,
yes,
I claim that through something I say.
Yes,
begins to happen. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you just breathe on this, Lord God, tonight. You just breathe tonight. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. Now, folks, let's go to, if you got your Bibles with you, please open it with you. I mean, please open your Bibles with you. If you got them, please open your Bibles with me. We'll study the Word. We'll study in the Word of God. Word of God for a bit, as I am going to start off with Hebrews 11 and read the whole chapter, and then we're going to go to Genesis chapter. I think it's 39 or 40, but whichever one it is, we're going to go to that after this, and then I'm going to, based on
Joseph
either that,
part 2, isn't it?
Yep, it's going to be a continuation of Joseph and what happens with Joseph. And we're going to be reading some more about Joseph, and then I'm going to exhort on what I'm on what I read unless God preempts it somehow. So, you, without further ado, please open it. Please participate. We like it when you participate. If we sing a song, you sing with us. If we read the Bible, you read the Bible. I'm not doing this tonight, but if I were to tell the Thanksgiving story, you listen to it. I'm not telling it tonight, but I'm just saying if. But anyhow, you participate. If you log on to this, you know, smart thing to listen to, you to it on your smartphone or however else you do it. You log on to this. We like it if you participate and not just sit back and listen. So, like, if we're opening the Bible like I did right now, then open it with us. Hebrews 11, and I begin with verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for, the evidence of what we do not yet see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. And by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man. When God had spoken well of his offerings, then by faith he still speaks, even though Abel is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. God took him away. That's the first rapture, folks. I tell you. We're getting closer every day to the rapture. You've got to be ready. You've got to be ready for that rapture. Because Enoch was the first rapture. We're all going to be next. But I know, I'm preaching. If I really want to get to that, I'll get to that after, but still reading. As he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him, he must first believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And by faith, Noah, when he was warned about things he did not yet see, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world, and he became heir with the element that comes from it by faith. He became with the element that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his He made his home in the promised land, just like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with the same promise. For he was looking forward to this city of foundations, whose architect and whose builder is God. And by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. Because he considered himself faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he was as good as dead, that his descendants were as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on a seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, and they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned with God that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. He blessed them according to their future. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons, and he worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. And by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. And by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Still reading. By faith, the people raised, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. And by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around for 7 days. And by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed or thrown through disobedience. And what more shall I say? I don't have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins. And they were destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Let's go to the book. Genesee Valley Center.
Now, hey, while you're going to Genesis, I'm going to read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, not your church, not your pastor, not your denomination, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Remember, you look to Jesus, who's the author and finisher, but you can't live without your pastor, your church, and your denomination. You got to have it, because it all comes together. All right, here we go, Genesis.
Okay, number 39. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, Potiphar and Egyptian. Wait a minute. Nope. 40. It's 40. So, with that in mind, here we go. Sometime later, the cupbearer, the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. The cupbearer in America, sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, he offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them after they had been in custody for some time. Each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night. and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why are your faces so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered. "But these are not, there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Don't interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it was budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hands." "This is what it means," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. For I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews. And even here, I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, "I too had a dream. On my head, they were three baskets of bread. In the top basket was all kinds of baked goods like donuts and whoopie pies. And I wish they were sugary things that a cute, nice, cute lady could give to me. A nice, cute girl who had nice, sweet-smelling perfume on and all that. She had sweet-smelling baked goods to set at my table, either at home or even at Great Lakes Crossing or somewhere like that. Because that lady with those sweet bearing baked goods could be like the raven, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the raven, but only she's giving me donuts. There were three baskets of bread. In the top baskets were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh. And now I had teased and said that they were all those baked goods were for me. But they weren't for me. They were for Pharaoh. But the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. That would be like some little kid coming up and eating it, wouldn't it? That'd be like some little kid coming in and eating my stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Don't let that happen. Joseph said, "The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and will hang you on a tree. And the birds will eat away your flesh." Now the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all of his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup to Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. That'd be like forgetting God.
Yeah.
That'd be like, I forgot that God did that. You can't be forgetting. Now, the forgetting would be like taking stuff for granted. Sometimes we can do something. Hang on. This episode has been brought to you by the wonderful fries of McDonald's.
Hallelujah.
As I am eating some of these wonderful fries.
Hallelujah.
Available at a McDonald's near you after 10:30 in the morning.
You need me to read the rest of it while you're eating?
I finished the chapter.
All right.
But and again, I shall take another sip of Coke before I can continue to exhort. Now, you can't be forgetting God. You can't be forgetting God and what he did for you. You have to be remembering him and thanking him for it. You know, the 10 lepers that were cleansed, only one came back. Only one came back. Jesus says, weren't all 10 of them cleansed? Where were the other 9? They didn't come back. They didn't come back. And thank God they're still took it for granted. Apparently they just thought, oh, it's just a little miracle. It's just a little healing. Oh, me? By the way, the day my healing and my sight becomes manifest, and my hearing in my right ear becomes manifest, and that ear canal comes in, I will never forget that day. It's going to be such a big party. Josh Barclay told me it's going to be more wired for invasion than what any invasion has ever seen. More pyro than any invasion has ever had. There's going to be so much pyro. Hey, preacher, what's all this music?
No, I got to go find it. I'll put myself on pause. Go ahead.
Now, people, I was saying just a second ago about how, you know, when my sight and my other miracles become manifest on that day, there's going to be such a huge party. There's going to be such a huge party. There's going to be so much stuff going on. To think that I'm going to forget that miracle? Uh-uh. You have to not only be believing him, you have to be remembering that God did that for you. You see, that cupbearer, he forgot that Joseph was the one that had that dream. And thanks to that dream, Joseph was restored to his old position. He got his old job back. He could have been hung like the baker, but he wasn't. Instead, he was restored to his old position. Or as we would say it, I got my job back. So he got restored. That'd be like me getting my eyes restored, you know. For those of you who don't know, I could actually see for the first 3 months of my life. And then I had a disease called amaurosis that took my eyesight from me when I was 3 months old. So for about 28 years and a month, I have been a blind man. For about 28 years and a month, I've been a blind person. One who could see for 3 months when it was taken away. I believe that God is going to restore. God is the restorer. He's the healer. He's the provider. He always makes a way when there seems to not be a way. And there's been, I took some tests a couple of years ago to see whether or not I'd be a candidate for some certain surgery that I could have had that could have brought back at least some of my vision. Turned out the genes came back and they want the right genes, which means, to me, means maybe this wasn't the will of God. So, still believing. Excuse me. I'm still believing God. I have not given up on God. I still believe all the time that he's going to come through for me and give me what I'm believing for. And it's really important that you are, you got to be thankful after that things happens, after that thing happens for you. You get that promotion or you get the healing or you get whatever Jesus gives you, that miracle you believe in for. You got to be thankful for it. Not griping to him about all your other problems. Because all this griping and stuff, you know, when you were little, or even as an adult, your parents aren't happy when you're griping about stuff. They're really not happy. So don't make them feel like really uncomfortable, you know, because you're always griping about your stuff. I didn't get that thing I wanted. I just want, you know, this certain thing, this certain way. I gotta have it now. I gotta have. That doesn't work. You gotta have an idea that Jesus has a plan for you. He really does. For those of you who doubt, for those of you who are doubting God, ask him to show you. You gotta first believe that he exists. You gotta believe. And then you gotta remember, after you receive your miracle, you can't be forgetting. Joseph told me to be kind, said, now cupbearer, I want you to not only be kind to me, but remember me after you're let out of prison. You know, at that big banquet dinner, or they would say Pharaoh's birthday party, you know. At his birthday party, you know, they reinstall that cupbearer. But he hangs, which results in the death of the baker. And those grapes are an indication of, you know, for the cup, for Pharaoh's wine that he probably enjoyed drinking. So, I don't know. maybe if that dream was about me, it could be in the dream that there were three like mini bottles of Coke that could have represented, you know, the 3 days or whatever. Or they could have, or who knows what it could have been. But all this to show, you know, that Joseph was able to really interpret those cool dreams. And so, you know, it's really powerful being able to interpret dreams like that. It's a hard thing to do, but he was able to do it, and he was done.
Hey, Miracle Man, I think a good thing to say there. I can't talk long because this guy's really singing over here, but I think, I don't know what verse it is, but Joseph actually says there is a God who reveals secrets. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he reveals secrets.
Let me see where it is. Yeah, it was verse 8. Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me then, I pray you. And I know he said it, and I know Daniel also said it to Nebuchadnezzar. There is a God that reveals secrets. And that's the cool thing about you and I as Christians. If we're in the right place with God, God will reveal to us and help people figure out what their dreams are. This is Sam. I'm over and out here because we're singing in the McDonald's in West Branch.
They're singing? They're singing at McDonald's?
Hey, guy's got a guitar singing, I'll Fly Away.
Well, no one's ever done that at this McDonald's when I've been here.
Well, get busy and make it happen.
I think some of the McDonald's workers should get a band together and start singing and playing.
Just
I'd
have
love
Annie
to see that.
Play the guitar for you. She can play the guitar.
No, not her. I want the McDonald's workers to do it. I want the McDonald's workers to do it. Or some random person in the McDonald's. You know? You know? Because I like it when it's random like that.
I like random.
You know?
That's why we have a radio program, because we like random.
Well, at Christmas, you get one of those workers, some of them, they're all dressed up like Santa Claus. And you got all these carolers in here or whatever, because like it or not, the time's coming. And I know I'm not quite ready for Thanksgiving. I am, but I'm not. What I mean I'm not is like the time is going by so fast. I mean, it is 10 days away. Our turkey's not made. I don't know for sure what time the Thanksgiving dinner is. So I'm not ready in that aspect either, but, you know, in a way I'm ready because I'm excited.
Yeah.
So it is, you know, it's, but like I was saying, you know, about this secret thing, you know, if you're in that right place with God, God can reveal to you secrets about other people so you can help them. You can reveal to them. That doesn't mean you're automatically a prophet. You're not exactly a prophet. You're only a prophet if God ordains you as a prophet in the prophet's office. Like, for example, Dr. Mark T. Barclay. He is a prophet of God. And he's been placed over us. And he... You know, he's a shepherd. He is a great prophet, and he watches over us all the time. Now, folks, as always, yes, I am going to do this. I do this all the time after... at the end of exhortation, because this is really important. The Bible says that we must be born again. We all have need for a Savior. That is Jesus Christ. We all need him. We all need to accept him. If you do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you will not make heaven. The only exception to that rule is if you're less than the age of accountability. If you're under the age of accountability, then you'll make heaven. But I don't know exactly what that age is. If it's 4, 5, 7. I know it's less than 12 because teenagers, so much of the time, they know what they're doing. So I would say it's like somewhere between 4, 5, and 7 or so, 8. If you're over that age, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or you will not make heaven. And even if you're 4 and 5, you should still accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to do it when you can make that decision for yourself. I am going to serve God. I am going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And by the way, the idea is to be, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Not, mommy made me dwell in the house of the Lord. And the kids read back, my mommy made me dwell in the house of the Lord. But it doesn't work that way. It has to be, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I will. I come to you new. I am a sinner. I am, you know, when you make that great confession and do you ask the Lord to come into you, write that? And then, you know, if you're a family, you guys can all accept the Lord and your Jesus into your heart. And then if you're from the area, we have a great church we can recommend you to go to. It's Living Word International Church out on Stark Road, 2010 North Stark Road in Midland. Just giving you a suggestion, though, folks. I'm not going to mandate what church you go to. Oh, by the way, yes, you need a church. Not because I said so, because God says so. Like, you need to have communication in that with like-minded people of God. You need to have that. You got to have a place to study the Word of God, you know, and you got to have a place to give. You got to have a place to give the tithe. You have to bring, you get to bring the 10% tithe into the storehouse. And the main way you do that, you go to church. I'm not saying you have to go to church. The only reason I recommended Living Word is because I go to that church. And it really is a great church. Mark T. Barclay is awesome. And the ministers and minister under him when he's out of town. Fantastic. Check it out. We have a service Thursday nights at 7, Sunday mornings at 10, Sunday nights at 6. But if you want to get your life right with Jesus Christ right now, you can call us at that number, at this number again. This phone number is 215-383-3810. Again, that is 215-383-3810. You press 1, you go through the screener, and it will let you into the show to talk to us.
And we want to talk to you.
And we do want to talk to you. We want to help you give your life to Christ, because it really is not, it's really not hard to give your life to Christ. It doesn't take that long. It's painless and it doesn't cost you any money. Everybody wants your money. I know everybody wants your money these days. I don't. I'm not asking you to get, I'm not asking you for an offering. All I want is for you to give your life to Christ. And I'm not mandating you to do it, but I would like you to do it. You know, Satan's forceful. God is not. God wants you to give his life to him. Satan will make you. If you're not careful, he will force you into his thing. He will force you. And you got to be able to push back from him. It's really important. Now, thank God. Thank you, Jesus, for the great word and exhortation this evening. I thank you, Lord God, that people would respond to this call to give their life to Christ. I thank you, Lord God, that you would just be with these people. I thank you, Jesus, that people, as they get their miracles, they would not forget that you are the one who did them. And they wouldn't think, oh, my doctor healed me, my doctor did the surgery. They would give credit to God for the miracles, regardless of whether it's a raise or whether it's more money in my wallet or whatever it happens to be. Therefore, God, I thank you, Lord God, for that in Jesus' name. Now, we are going into sports. We got an update on last night's game, and then we got the some high school stuff to get to tonight. Some high school football stuff that I did not cover last night because of our technology meltdown. Without further ado, here we go. Last night, the Carolina Panthers hosted the Miami Dolphins in Charlotte, North Carolina. And the Panthers totally destroyed the Dolphins 45-21.
Just whooped the fire out of them, didn't they?
Yeah, a lot of these night games in the NFL have not been all that close this week. The only one that was of the night games was the Seattle-Arizona game. Other than that, it was 45-21 and then another far apart one. They're doing a good job, and Carolina is only one game behind the top team of the NFC South, the New Orleans Saints. Atlanta is in third place at like a game or so behind them. Super Bowl, we just finished the 10th week, so many teams will still have 6 or 7 games left to play, which means we don't really have a clear idea yet. There are some teams we can eliminate, though, like the Browns, the 49ers, the Giants, who are playing like little babies, and some others. But in some other cases, we have no idea who's going to make it to the playoffs. Now, tomorrow night will be our edition of the Pick Six, where I go through 3 NFL games, one of which includes the Lions, 3 college football games, 2 of which include Michigan, one of which includes Michigan, and another includes Michigan State, and another includes a game yet to be decided. And then there will be, what about the Cardinals? Oh, well, we just guess some guy was just saying something. But, you know, tomorrow night will be that. And then the picks for the high school state semifinals that will be going on this weekend at various neutral sites around the state. Which leads me, by the way, to something I could not do last week, because we had some technology meltdowns at the end that ended our show quicker than what I planned on. So, I mean, it ended it before my material was done with that I wanted to get to. So, on Saturday, I mean, this weekend, in Division One, you had Clarkston going out to West Ottawa to take on the West, to take on Holland West Ottawa. And the Wolves were coming out and for three quarters, the West Ottawa, Holland West Ottawa dominated Clarkston. Holland West Ottawa dominated Clarkston for three quarters. The fourth quarter, however, was all Clarkston. At one point, it had been 22-6, Holland West Ottawa over the Clarkston Wolves. And it looked like it could have stayed as Clarkston threw an interception. But then Clarkston comes out and they did. Clarkston gives them, ends up defending West Ottawa pretty good and gives them a three and out. Clarkston gets the ball back. Cantu goes in for a good touchdown run. In fact, Josh Cantu does three touchdown runs, two-point conversions, and a good extra point to take it from 22-6 to 29-22 Wolves. And that's your final. Next, for Clarkston, a game that I will likely be at, weather permitting, is a game at Walled Lake Western High School. It will be Holland West. No, it will be Clarkston versus Detroit Catholic Central Shamrock. Novi Detroit Catholic Central. This is in Walled Lake. Why they didn't put it at a place like White Lake, which is more in between Clarkston and Novi, I don't know. It is like a 40-minute drive from my mom's apartment. I still plan on going as long as the weather cooperates. And I'm going to go there and plan to go there and cheer on the Wolves to victory. And the other Division I final, regional, I mean, state semifinal, you have the Detroit Cass Technicians going to Troy Athens High School to take on West Bloomfield. West Bloomfield knocked out the number one overall team in Division One, the Utica Eisenhower out of Macomb County over in that Utica area. So Macomb County is out of the tournament. So there are three Oakland County teams left, one Wayne County team left. And based on this Saturday's games, we will find out in Division One. Now, Division Two, I mean, no. And then all four of the home teams this weekend in Division One all lost at home, on their home fields. So Cass Tech lost to, no, Cass Tech beat, I'm trying to remember who they beat. It was Cass Tech over, I forget who they beat. Catholic Central beat Canton, Clarkston over West Ottawa, and West Bloomfield over Utica Eisenhower. So those were your scores there. I forget again who Castech beat. But nonetheless, Castech got the win. The technicians are it. Also, I think
what division
could
is that?
Beat a Ford Field. I will make my predictions tomorrow night as far as which two teams I think they will be. What were you asking me, Preacher?
Which division were you talking about there?
Division One.
Detroit Castech beat Clinton Township Chippewa.
Oh, it was Clinton Township Chippewa Valley. So you had two in the regionals. You had two Macomb County teams. Now you don't have any because they all lost. And three Oakland County teams are still in it. And so we'll see, based on what happens on Saturday, what it turns out. I want Detroit versus, I want Clarkson versus Castech. Is that what we'll get? I will look at certain things and some stuff and then predict. I will do the prediction tomorrow night as far as who I think the Ford Field matchup will end up being in Division One. Now, Division Two, you have in Division Two, Livonia Franklin taking on Grand Rapids Forest Hills Central at Alma College. I will not be there because I will be instead, like most likely, if I go to any game on Saturday, which is pretty likely, it will be at the Clarkston game, which is at Wild Lake West. You have Grand Rapids Forest Hills Central Rangers taking on Livonia Franklin in Alma. On the other side, you have Detroit Martin Luther King. Detroit King is taking on Detroit King.
Warren De La Salle.
Going to take out. Oh yeah, I was just about to say that. Warren De La Salle. It is Warren. It's King versus Warren. And again, I know who I want in this one, but do I think that that's what'll happen? I want Livonia, Franklin, and Detroit King. Is that what will happen? Again, I have to look at some things and put it tomorrow night, what will happen. You have Muskegon in Division Three. I think they're going to take the whole thing. You still have Frankenmuth in it. I think they could go all the way. It's possible. Ithaca is still in it. You still have Nivelle and Swan Valley. Both Saginaw schools still in it. So Saginaw County still has three teams that are in that tournament. Three teams, believe it or not. You have Saginaw, Nivelle, and Swan Valley, as well as Frankenmuth. So good luck to all three of those teams. Nobody is playing in Midland. Now you do have Frankenmuth going to Fenton to play, and then you have Swan Valley has to go all the way up to Marquette and play a game.
That'll be a cold one.
I don't think it's in the dome. It's in the dome, but it's still not fair. I don't think it's fair that they have to go all the way to Marquette to play a football game. But
that's a long bus ride.
They do, and Marquette had to make that drive to Midland 2 years in a row for state first round playoffs. Now both times they did lose to Midland rather handily. It was 42-7, and then it was 42-10 the next year. So both times the drive seemed to really do them in badly. First game, they actually had a 3-0 lead. No, the second game, they actually had a 3-0 lead. Marquette did at one point, but Midland turned on the gas. And Midland did what they had to do and win those ball games. This was in 2012 and 2013. So, good luck to all these teams on Saturday as they do the last step in the drive for Detroit. Obviously, the final step will be playing in Detroit, but this is to get to Detroit. And that is these semifinals.
So I have a question for you there, Miracle Man.
Yes.
If you go to Ford Field to watch the football game, do you buy one ticket and you get the whole day, or how does that work?
I believe you get the whole day, but I'm only going to stay for one game, maybe a part of another one, because even though I'm going to be there the whole weekend, I might want to get back to the mall by my mom's, maybe. Or something else. So we might want to go get some food or whatever.
Right.
So we're going to stay. Plus, it's Saturday, so we're going to stay for the Division One, and then we'll possibly either get there partway through the Division Seven game or stay for part of Division Five. That could depend on if anyone from this Midland, Bay City, Saginaw, Ithaca, if they're in it. I believe Frankenmuth is Division 5. Can you verify for me which division Frankenmuth is in, please?
Division 5.
It's 5, so Frankenmuth would be on Saturday. I just want to look at the parking thing. I just might stay for both of those.
Yeah.
Maybe. What I say, Ford Field, Division 1, no matter what, even if it's not Folkston. And then 5 likely if it's Frankenmuth, because, you know, I had said I had planned to be there, and it's good to get behind your team, you know what I mean? And so so if they make it that far, I'll be there for them. And there's the Eagles of Frankenmuth. I think they need to eat some fried chicken before their game on Saturday. I think they need to eat some chicken before they go to Fenton. Do you bet Zenders has given Frankenmuth any team dinners?
Say again.
Do you bet they've had any? Do you bet the Frankenmuth team has had any Zenders dinners?
Oh, come on, man. Chicken. Let's eat some chicken.
I hope
we're singing,
I
we're
I
singing again here, Miracle Man. So we're singing again here, so I'm going to have to put my mic on mute. If you have a question,
but,
just ask me.
Nonetheless, I think it can be good for them. Now, for the first time in the history of this show, I'm going to go over a college basketball game. Dun 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 dun. Or more specifically, dun 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 dun. You're right, Michigan Wolverines taking on the Central Michigan University Chippewas. 75-68, Michigan wins over the Chips. 75-68, I guess CMU is supposed to be decent this year, but Michigan was able to prevail. They did pretty nice game, and I don't know who they play next, but they'll be playing up next soon. Now, NBA basketball. You had the Detroit Pistons play on Sunday. And they won their ball game on Sunday, and they did a good job. They'll be playing again tomorrow night. They've won five straight. They started the season 10-3. The best season starting record in several years. So can't wait to go down and see them. I think they're probably the only playoff team we'll get in Detroit this year, unless the Lions can do what they need to do so they can get to going and doing well. But like I said about the Pistons, you know, keep it going. Keep that winning coming. Now, let me see. What other sports stuff do I have? Oh, high school basketball season will be starting in a few weeks. And as game nights come, I'll make sure to let you know as to who they are as far as for Midland. Midland and Dow, of course. Now these Midland basketball games, the main criteria that I use for Midland High basketball games to whether or not I go to is I tend to go to ones where I figure the band will be present. Because to me, at least, in a way, it's kind of not the same without them. And I like it when they're there. It's a lot of fun. So, but that'll be coming up soon in December. Also in college football of local nature, Saturday, Saginaw Valley State University ended their season at 5-6. They lost two, so they ended up 5-6. Northwood finishes at 7-4. So, good year, Timberwolves. And better luck next year, Cardinals. So, folks, it's been a great show. Until tomorrow night, so long. I mean, God first, God always. Good night, everybody, and I will see you all tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, 5 o'clock.
Thank you, too. You, too.